Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Positively Kim podcast. Here you will find bits and pieces of nutrition information along with lots of motivation and mindset hacks to go along with it. First, I just want to say thank you so much for listening. I don't know if you're from Facebook, Instagram, wherever you're from. I'm just grateful to have you here and to have you listening. Today, we're going to assess your digestive system and any possible issues that you could be having with it. A number of factors affect how well your digestive system functions. Your lifestyle, including diet, exercise, smoking, and alcohol consumption, is one of the key indicators. Chronic stress also takes a toll on your digestion. For some people, chronic stress slows things down significantly. Others can't leave the bathroom during particularly stressful times. Medical history, family history, and genetics also play a role in your the way your digestive system is going to work. Just because you have one or more risk factors for digestive problems, however, doesn't mean you'll definitely develop poor digestive health. Knowing your risk factors can guide you into making the best choices for yourself, whether that means making lifestyle changes or simply being alert for any symptoms that may indicate trouble. So first, the best way to find out what's going on with your body is to write down what it is doing. If you have digestive troubles or any other symptoms that might be related to gut health, a food journal can be your best friend. Keeping track of what you eat and how your body reacts can help you identify troublesome foods or situations that allow you to take control over digestive health. Even people with no digestive problems can benefit from keeping a food diary for 2 to 3 weeks. You may be able to identify unhealthy eating patterns, such as taking in too much sugar, frequently skipping meals like, I'm sorry, but how many of you skip breakfast, or just not eating enough vegetables? So you can track your food intake the old-fashioned way with a pen and a notebook, or you can turn to technology for an easier way to do the tracking. Many online resources offer food tracking as well as free downloadable apps so you can carry around with you right on your cell phone. It's really easy, so there's really no excuse for you to not be able to do this. It's really just a decision, like, am I going to actually try to find out what's going on with me, or am I just going to complain about the same things that are going on? You know, you got to be real with yourself. An honest look at what you eat and how often you eat can be a helpful resource in choosing how to improve your diet and, as a result, your health. You may not realize that some of the foods you're eating are having a negative effect on your body until you actually see it on paper. Some of the foods that bother you may not bother another person. For example, you may find that gluten triggers uncomfortable symptoms, while your brother, mother, or friend may have issues with dairy. Or you might have issues and no one in your family has anything at all. So just because you have a good history also doesn't mean that you're exempt. So first, we're going to start by tracking your food and beverage intake. So here's some key things to look at when tracking your intake. First, you want to start with what kind. You want to track what you eat and be as specific as you can. Include the main foods from your meals as well as any beverages and condiments like salad dressings, sour cream, ketchup, just anything that you put on your food. Often people will be like, I had a salad, but they don't say what was in the salad or what they put on it, because even if a salad in general could be a healthy food, if you douse it with a ton of ranch, that really takes away from what you're really trying to do. So make a note about how the food is prepared, like did you bake your chicken or did you fry it? You may find that you can tolerate certain foods better when they are prepared a certain way. For me, like, I have a hard time with dairy. It's always been something that I've had a hard time digesting, but there are times, like sometimes I can handle a little bit of cottage cheese here and there or maybe some butter, but other than that, it all really just does not go well. And then second, you want to record how much food you're eating. So for example, list the number of items of food, say like 12 pretzels, or the volume of a particular food, like if you're eating cereal, maybe put like 3/4 of a cup of cereal. You may just notice that you feel okay with a small amount of a particular food item, but larger amounts of food cause digestive distress. Like I had talked about in my last podcast, I talked about how your stomach expands to be about, I think it was 12, oh, it's about 50 times, yeah, it's 50 times, if I remember correctly, the size of your stomach. So when you're eating, you're really expanding those smooth muscles of your stomach, so you want to make sure that when you're eating, you're not overeating, because that causes a lot of stress on your stomach muscles. Next, I want you to record the time. You want to note the time of day you eat or drink. Also record what time you woke up and what time you went to bed that day so you can keep track of how many hours passed between meals. You may notice that you have more energy if you eat breakfast within an hour of waking up or that waiting too long between meals leads to energy crashes. I have something called hypoglycemia, so if I don't eat frequently enough, I have like shakes and I'll get kind of sweaty and it's just not very fun. I'll feel kind of dizzy. So I know that I need to eat kind of frequently, and it started with journaling my food. But other than journaling your food, there's a couple other things that you can do. And one thing you can do is track like your feelings, the things that you do, and who you spend your time around. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. Track your feelings, your activities, and especially who you keep yourself company with. Like, who are you spending your time with? So there's a couple things that you should be tracking, like I said. So first, we're going to start with like where you are. It's really important to know where you ate. Like, was it on the couch in the living room in front of the television? Or is it at the kitchen table? Did you get your meal in while you're driving in the car or at work, your work desk? Wow, your work desk between phone calls? Like, where did you eat? You want to track it because that might also tell you like how, what your habits are. Like, are you eating in a rush all the time, or are you eating because it's like an actual thing that you're doing because you're hungry? Knowing where you're eating and why is really important. But also, like I said, the company you keep. You may eat differently when you're with friends or family than you are when you're alone. I know that when I go out, I feel a pressure to, like, it's really hard for me to say, like, oh, can you leave the chicken off of that? Can I have tofu instead? Because sometimes, you know, they kind of look at you funny. I mean, your close friends shouldn't do that, or your family. But, you know, you can't always convince everyone to agree with what you choose to do with your life, even if you are really close. So sometimes it can be really hard and you can feel that social pressure. But it's just like I said, it's really important to pay attention to that. Like I said, certain friends may bring up bad eating habits in you while others keep you on track and encourage healthy eating habits. Jot down whether you were alone or with family members or friends, and list each person individually. Wow, that word did not come out right from my brain. And then next, I want you to talk about your activity. I want you to list any activities you were doing while you were eating. Were you working, watching TV, talking on the phone, or sitting quietly? Or did you take small bites and chew each one thoroughly? Or did you rush through your meal without thinking about it? I know that I have a habit of snacking when I'm in front of the TV, so I made it a point to grab at least healthier things. So if I'm sitting there, I won't eat potato chips, or, you know, I'll have veggies and hummus or something, but I still try to pre-portion it. So I'll only grab like the serving size of veggies that I'm going to eat along with the serving size of hummus. I don't take the whole container with me because then I know that I'm at least not going to overeat, and I try to only do it if I'm hungry, instead of actually just doing it out of boredom like a lot of people do. Now last, also I want you to think about your mood, and I want you to track that because your moods can impact what you eat and how much, especially how much. Describe how you were feeling. Like, are you stressed, angry, worried, or excited while you were eating? Like, this is also a good place to note how you felt after you ate. Did you feel satisfied or overly full? Were you still hungry? It's really important to do this because when you find out why you're eating foods, like let's say it's because you're sad and you know that you overeat a bunch of pretzels, it's really important to be real with yourself about that because that's holding you back from your goals. Just changing one little habit like that can make a huge difference in your life when it comes to your eating habits and your health. Okay, so now that you have your food journal and you kind of know what you're going to be writing down, I also want you to describe and rate the symptoms that you have going on. So I'm just going to use indigestion as an example. Like, it's something people also call heartburn. So I have a list of 0 to 3 that I have written down here, and I want you to put that kind of as your key. So when you go back, you can be like, wait, why did I rate this, or whatever. So for 0, I want it to be for no symptoms or if it's not severe. So like, you don't experience this, or maybe it's something you previously experienced and you no longer do. So that's why that's there, because, you know, you're not going to sit there and list every single thing you don't have, but it's mainly for when something does go away. And then 1 is for mildly severe, so it doesn't really bother you. It's kind of like getting a headache once a week that only lasts like 20 minutes. Like, it's really not a big deal, but maybe it's a specific reaction to something immediately that goes away very quickly. And then 2 is moderately severe. So that's when it becomes more of like a lasting problem. It's not something you experience every single day. It's not something that you experience every meal, but it is definitely something that makes it difficult for you to enjoy the majority of your meals and your activities. And then 3 is inevitably severe. So this is something that really impairs your day-to-day activity and makes it very difficult for you to really enjoy any meal, any activity. Like your whole life is really just starting to be overturned with this particular symptom. So I want you to think deeper than just your immediate symptoms like bloating or gas. Sometimes symptoms of a food intolerance or sensitivity take hours or even days to develop. So write down any symptom that you have at any time, whether or not you think it's related to the food you're eating. This don't just leave something out because you're assuming it has nothing to do with it, because you'd be surprised how many things just kind of show up. So this can make it easier to identify patterns and determine which foods, if any, may be causing you a problem. Pay attention to any mood changes or changes in energy levels as well. That is so important. And sometimes a food sensitivity presents itself as irrational anger or even extreme fatigue. So things may not seem like they're related to food, but you'd be surprised how many symptoms that we experience on a daily basis that are directly related just to our diet. So tracking your food intake can give you insight into several aspects of your eating habits, like when you tend to crave sugar or that you're not eating close to enough vegetables, which I think most people are guilty of, unless you're a vegetarian and that's literally your diet. The more specific you are with tracking your intake, the more accurate your insights will be. So don't sell yourself short by neglecting to record just a bite here, there, or a little sip there. In the end, you're the one who benefits from a properly tracked diet. So like I said, like even if it doesn't seem important, just write it down anyways, because it's definitely important to be real with yourself along the way. Like if you notice like you add 2 little Oreos, it might just be 2 Oreos to you, but that's like a couple hundred, that's like 200 something calories right there just hanging out that you could have left out, and that makes a huge difference in your system metabolically. So I want you to make this journal. So not only did we start out with you being a little bit more mindful when you're eating, and not only did I explain a little bit about how your digestive system works, now I want you to start focusing on how it's working and what is going on with you, and then we'll start diving into each specific symptom and how it really affects you. Like next time I'm definitely going to be talking about stomach acid and really just all about stomach acid and what it does in our body, where it hangs out, what it's made out of, everything. So that'll be our next segment. And then after that, it's going to be food intolerances, sensitivities, and allergies. All right. Thank you guys. All right, everyone. That's it for today. I will see you guys on my next podcast. Like I said, thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.